Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It's Friday. It sounds good, doesn't it? You don't even have to be a sports fan to enjoy Friday. And actually, on Thursday afternoon, I had to wake up early. I was cleaning the house to get ready for some friends to come hang out for the rest of the day. But I sent producer Jay the text and said, so now for real, it's happy almost Friday. Because I juked him out the day before when I was thinking that Wednesday was Thursday already. I destroyed him. He woke up. He's like, what, Friday? No.
It disrupted my whole morning.
It just ruined the rest of his week, really. Yeah. And so on Thursday afternoon, I could actually say happy almost Friday because for most of us, it is the weekend and we are away from work or at least out of our regular routines. I understand some people work on the weekends. Actually, we work on the weekends. But it's wonderful to get to Friday and to survive another one of these grindy weeks late into September and into early October. And I tell you what, the Colts and Broncos make it more grindy. I never, ever, ever, ever need to see the Colts and Broncos playing again. Do you think that if Peyton Manning was in a grave, he's not in a grave, thankfully, because I love Peyton, that he would have been turning over in said grave? That is two former teams with quarterbacks who have more than eight Pro Bowls between them did not even manage a single touchdown. Do you think Peyton Manning theoretically would have rolled over in his grave?
I think he's definitely happy he wasn't on a Manning cast for this game.
Oh, man, that would have been fire, actually. His facial expressions, he cannot keep them to himself. He was the one who was gesturing violently for the timeout going back to week number one with the Broncos and the Seahawks and the fact that Nathaniel Hackett would not call a timeout. Well, here's something funny. Apparently, Coach Hackett was listening to all the people who said he should leave the ball in the hands of his quarterback and put the game in the hands of his highly paid, very successful QB instead of kick the field goal. It happened again. You know what? If the Broncos could manage a touchdown, they wouldn't have to be in these situations. But alas, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Let me just reiterate again. I'm very happy Peyton Manning is not in that grave to roll over or not, because he is delightful and probably is the best quarterback that either one of these teams could generate right now. Man, I had higher hopes for the Colts, to be sure. I know in Denver, they were thrilled to add Russell Wilson, but maybe it's growing pains. Certainly there was no Jonathan Taylor last night for the Colts, which changes things. But both these teams had multiple opportunities in the red zone. Both these teams were over 100 yards rushing. Both these teams moved the ball at times. Right now on NFL Network, Peyton Manning's doing that crazy dance that he does with youth football. And Eli's wearing the fishing hat. And what is happening? Have you seen that commercial where Peyton and Eli are coaching they're coaching youth football teams. And Eli's loafing it on the bench with some players that are making fun of his brother. Meanwhile, Peyton's out there with his hat and a whistle and some awful shorts that look like they're from three decades ago. And he's dancing with the kids.
I haven't seen that.
It's the most awkward dance ever. And yet it's so funny because it's Peyton.
Is it just like an NFL commercial?
Yes, that's a good question. I forgot what the commercial's for.
That's the point.
I think it is. I do think it's a youth football thing. I think it's that a commercial, more of a promo than anything. But don't quote me on that because I was too busy watching Eli make fun of Peyton and Peyton dancing. So my point is, he's not dead, and I'm so glad he's alive. And boom, there he was on my TV.
Hey, guys, check it out. Just made my first TikTok.
I'm sure at some point Peyton won't be funny anymore, but we've not reached that point.
I'm not sure that'll happen.
Have you noticed the Monday Night Manning numbers continue to grow?
I'm sure.
And now the parent network of Monday Night Football wants to include the Manning numbers when they're doing their...
I don't know.
They include the Manning numbers when they do their ratings.
When those
course.
Guys are on, I do watch Monday Night Football.
I mean, that's what I watch. I find it highly entertaining.
I don't think that's fair to combine the two.
Look, but the game last night was so bad that I'd rather talk about Peyton Manning on a commercial wearing awful shorts. Like, that's anything except to talk about Thursday Night Football.
Honestly.
Hey, you know what? Tom Brady and his Buccaneers offense may not be in sync yet, but I'll tell you there's one thing that he got right and all right, 110% right, when he was asked about the state of the NFL right now.
I think there's a lot of bad football from what I watch. You know? I watch a lot of bad football, a lot of, poor quality of football. That's what I see.
Shotgun snap to Russell. Protection pretty good. Russell now pinballs, throws a ball at the feet of Boone, who makes the catch, leans out of the 35 to the 36, but that's only a gain of 10 on third and 17. Bobby Okereke with the tackle, and again, smattering of boos as this Bronco offense trots off the field. Wilson bounces around, tries to buy some time, steps away from pocket, now throws the ball into the end zone or over the head of the receiver, incomplete. Sobert was on the back line of the end zone. I think Russell didn't want to take too many chances there. Rodney McLeod on the coverage, and a lot of frustrated people wearing orange jerseys in the stands here. Here's a snap ball placement at the 24 near hash, and the kick is blocked and rolls into the end zone. I think Grover Stewart got his hands on that football. And now you're really hearing some frustration from the Broncos home crowd.
Oh, and it was early. It was early there in Denver. There would be much more frustration for the fans dressed in orange jerseys. This game was 9-6 early in the fourth quarter, and there's still plenty of drama to come. Dave Logan with the calls on Broncos radio. We get toward the end of the fourth quarter, and the Broncos are into the red zone. We've got multiple snaps inside the red zone. And Russell Wilson, whether it's what he's seeing, what he's not seeing, I get that he's a quarterback who's got 10 years of experience and the expectations should be higher for him. But man, at what point, other than snippets here or there, has he looked comfortable?
Mr. Limited.
Oh, you doctored that. What did you do in there? Did you cheat? Did you change it?
I might have tampered with it for a
second. Wow, the power of digital editing. Because, of course, it used to be Mr. Unlimited.
It was certainly not unlimited last night.
No, or at any point this season. Yeah, there's been games where he's had multiple touchdowns. This was not one of them. But, wow. The Colts defense was able to limit the Broncos. And I know they lost Javonte Williams, but they were well over 100 yards rushing. That was not the problem last night. 3 of 17 on third and fourth down. Multiple opportunities. But the Broncos were, are you ready? 0 for 4 in the red zone at home.
Denver's been in third and long most of the night and unsuccessfully so. 8 times, 10 yards or longer on third down. The ball's thrown, and this is going to be intercepted inside the 5-yard line. Wilson was trying to throw the ball away as he's being hit and threw it right to a defender out of the 35 to 40. And that was just a really bad decision. Rodney Thomas on the interception.
Once again, Dave Logan on Broncos radio. He's using much sarcasm. That is my love language, so I speak that. Stephon Gilmore with the interception on Russell Wilson in the end zone late in the fourth quarter, so about 2 minutes and 15 seconds to go. At that point, then, Matt Ryan steps on the field and directs a drive that goes 10 plays and 67 yards.
Good snap, good hold. The kick by McLaughlin is perfect, and we are tied with 5 seconds left here in Denver.
Free football. Free football alert.
Ooh, can we give it
back?
Got
the notification.
If it's a handout, it's a freebie, can you give it back? Gotta want this. You take it. Or can you re-gift it? How do you feel about re-gifting, Producer Jay? Do you re-gift?
Generally, no, I don't.
No?
But if there's something that I got that was nice and I didn't think I'd have a use for it, and I didn't think the other people would necessarily find out, I might.
Well, then yes, you're okay with re-gifting.
Yeah, I didn't say I'm not okay with
it. At least give
it
a good home.
Right, exactly. I just don't tend to do it. I don't think I've ever really done it, but I'm not.
So you'd rather throw the thing away?
What did I just say?
Wow, okay. Chill, it's a Friday.
I've never done it, but I'm not against it.
You've never done it, though?
No, I've never
done it. So what do you do with the gifts that you don't use?
I just don't use them.
Huh. Interesting. They just sit on your shelf?
No, I can't think of anything that's done that, but...
Nothing at all?
Nothing crosses my mind.
Wow, it's amazing that everyone who's ever given you a gift has nailed it and nothing there that you wouldn't
every
want.
Every time, batting a thousand.
I'm completely the opposite. I will re-gift. And I don't necessarily want the original giver to find out. I don't want their feelings to be hurt. But I would rather have the gift get a good home if I know I'm not going to use it. I wouldn't have wanted this Broncos-Colts overtime. I'd like to re-gift it. Maybe to London. Maybe they would enjoy Broncos-Colts overtime.
Honestly, I wouldn't wish this upon my worst enemy. I wouldn't want to give this to anybody. Let's just bury it.
Let's send Thursday night football to Germany.
They would never want to watch football again.
No. Then they wouldn't threaten to take our Super Bowl. That's
true.
Send it to London. And that'll clear out Tottenham Stadium immediately. That's right. I don't want free football like this.
No one wants this.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so Matt Ryan does direct the field goal drive that ties it end of the fourth quarter. They go into overtime. Once again, opening drive of OT. There's Matt Ryan and the Colts. Maybe they can't get into the end zone either. They were 0-for-2, but boy, do they have a dude who can kick field goals. So good. They take a 12-9 lead. Then it's the Broncos' turn. They get a big chunk play. Russell Wilson to Jerry Jeudy, 37 yards. Melvin Gordon, who did not fumble this week. So Gordon taking over the majority of the snaps. He's going to be the bell cow without Javonte Williams. They get into the red zone. Not just the red zone, but deep. As in 4th-and-1 on the 5. Now think back to week 1. Do you remember what happened? Broncos in Seattle. They're at midfield. You just paid your quarterback a bunch of money, but on 4th down, you take the ball out of his hands and you opt to send your kicker out there for a long field goal that he's never made in his career. He's never made one that long. Now, in this case, the field goal is a tie, and there's a real good chance you're not going to get the ball back. And so instead, Nathaniel Hackett and the Broncos opt to go for it on 4th-and-1 from the 5.
Touchdown wins it. You don't pick up this first down, the game is over. Hamler and Jeudy, slot right. Sutton, wide left, single coverage on him. Shotgun for Wilson. Gordon to his left. Wilson takes a high snap, one hands it. Bounces around, throws the ball, and it is deflected, incomplete in the end zone, and the Colts have won.
We wanted to win the game. We hadn't moved the ball very well the whole night, and I thought we had a spectacular drive to get all the way down there. It ended up being 4th-and-1 and got the go to go for it, and thought that was a good decision. Wanted to put the ball in Russell's hands and called a play that we know that he really likes, and it didn't work out. It was one of those things. The timeout before it was to kind of get a feel for what they were doing, and so the run didn't look as good as we had hoped it would have, and gave us a chance with Russell, and that's all you can ask for in that situation to win the game.
We had a good play call on. You know, went to Cortland there. Made a good play. I was ready to move around if I needed to. We came up with a big 4th-and-2 earlier in the drive before, the two drives before. So we went for it. We didn't want to end in a tie. You know, we wanted to try to win the game.
Amen to that.
You know, and that was our mentality. I don't think it was. I think Coach made a good call. I think we got to find. I got to find a way to make a play.
Stephon Gilmore, once again for the Colts, tipped that ball away. And honestly, by the time Russell Wilson let it fly, there was a lot of traffic back there. A lot. He held onto the ball for too long. And if you haven't seen the play, or if you haven't seen the video that follows the Gilmore defensive play in the back of the end zone, he got in front of Courtland Sutton. KJ Hamler, who had been coming in on the slant. So, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go back and look who it was on the outside. Forgive me for not remembering, but it was a pick play at the line of scrimmage. He took out two Colts defenders, two of them. And so Hamler comes across on the slant. He gets into first down territory, wide open. And when Russ did not hit him, because Russ was looking a different direction and holding onto the ball, Hamler gets so frustrated, he slams his helmet down. So both KJ Hamler and Cortland Sutton, who was the guy that the pass was intended for, they were obviously both frustrated after the game.
I'm frustrated. You know, I think everybody's frustrated. You know, we just got to stop shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, self-inflicted wounds, and you know, you see what we can do. You know, we drove down there fast. You know, we can do that every time. We got to finish. We got to execute. And we got to finish.
Everything is still ahead of us. You know, we have 3 losses, and yeah, we're 2-3 right now. But everything is still ahead of us. We only played 1 divisional game so far. You know, all of our division games are still ahead of us. And, you know, like I said, we got a lot of season ahead of us. We didn't put up enough points, and, you know, we didn't score enough points to win the game today. It's frustrating.
No touchdowns, a dozen punts, 10 total sacks, 4 interceptions, 0-for-6 in the red zone. Those are the combined numbers. So when Tom Brady tells you that there's a lot of bad football out there, he nailed it. Even when Tom's not playing sometimes, he's right. What is the After Hours game of the week? Narrator, it's not Colts Broncos. Poor Peyton Manning. We've got 4 candidates up for you on our Twitter poll. We'll let you go and check that out, After Hours CBS. And guess what? We had a bonus poll. We actually gave baseball a head start. Because do you know we are not even 7 hours away from the start of Wild Card Weekend? Baseball trying to take a page out of the NFL's book. Best of 3, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Get it. By the time we're back here on Sunday night, we're down to the divisional series. So it happens very fast. So we've got both a Wild Card Series poll as well as the After Hours Game of the Week in the NFL. Coming up, we'll get you set a little more for what's to come. Week 5. If you missed my conversation with Josh Pate, Late Kick Josh of CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports, good stuff in college football. That was last hour when he was on the road, but you can get that on our podcast like you can the entire show. Because who doesn't want to go back and hear more highlights from Colts and Broncos? Crickets.
Limited.
You're so wrong. You're actually doctoring the audio in the drop.
Just for the day.
Just for today. Okay.
Just wrong. He was not Mr. Unlimited. He was very Mr. Limited.
It's been a month of being limited. The Broncos dropped to 2-3. Very expensive.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Limitations, though. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City.
Hand off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Last hour, it was Defense Wins Championships to remind you that it's not just about quarterbacks in the NFL. Nope. Though we are obsessed with them. And it's fun to look at the upcoming weekend through the eyes of the QBs. And that, of course, includes the dud on Thursday Night Football. Unless you like kickers, If you love kickers and adventures in kicking, well, then we're all about it. Matt Ryan with a tough night. 6 sacks, a dozen quarterback hits, and 2 interceptions. But a win is a win is a win is a win.
Wins are what we need, you know. And so from that standpoint, you know, through 5 games, we're 2-2-1. And we're right in the mix. And I think our best football's in front of us. We do need to continue to make progress. We've got to play better than we did tonight. But at the end of the day, you got to win games, even as you're trying to find out, you know, what we can be. And I'm proud of the fact that we did that.
You all need to find someone in your life. I need to find someone in my life that believes in me the way that Frank Reich believes in Matt Ryan when the games are on the line in the fourth quarter.
I wish you guys could have seen him up close. I love this guy in the fourth quarter. The look in his eyes, the short conversations that we have, the determination, I just feel like we're going to go down the field and score. I mean, I really do. He's going to make it work. So a credit to Matt. I mean, you see all these things that have been said about him. What he does in the fourth quarter is impressive.
With experience in the league, you understand I have been through games like this where they're just weird, you know, and they're tough and they're hard, and you just got to keep competing, and you know, you know, there's still a chance. But for these young guys, I think that experience is invaluable.
If you want to watch it again, the NFL Network is literally on that fourth quarter field goal drive in the final 2 minutes, 10 plays, 67 yards for the Chase McLaughlin 31-yarder. Russell Wilson obviously having to talk people down off the wall. Now, he does take the blame himself, and he says, hey, this is on me. I've got to be better. I've got to make better decisions. But as always, he ends on a positive note.
I let the team down tonight. And but the good thing is, one thing I know about myself is I'm going to respond. I don't know any other way. You know, I always believe in myself, always believe in this team, believe in what we can do, believe what I can do. When you play this game, the one thing that you're going to know is you're going to go through adversity. And adversity, you have a choice, you know. And I'm always going to choose and understand that adversity is just temporary. You're going to overcome obstacles and battles.
So right now in the AFC West, the Broncos fall to 2-3, but the Raiders are still in the bottom of the basement. They're down there at 1-3, and Derek Carr certainly understands having to bounce back. He actually has gotten pretty good at putting the past in the past and leaving it there.
As soon as I'm done in the locker room after a game, you know, I come and I talk to y'all, and then I walk through the locker room, and like I've said it multiple times, all right, on to the next one. Like, like it really doesn't matter. Like as soon as it doesn't matter, like you're going to correct it and coach is going to teach you things and things like that. But, you know, you can't waste any time getting ready for the next opponent. And so, you know, like this last game, like I went home and I'm watching the Chiefs Buccaneers, you know, I'm trying to, you know, learn everything I can, watch everything, refresh my mind, remind, you know, and you have to be that way in this league.
Raiders Chiefs on Monday Night Football at Arrowhead Stadium. All right, Hopies, prepared to flush that one too if it doesn't go well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Jacoby Brissett and the Cleveland Browns this week are hosting the other team in the AFC West. That's the Chargers. I actually picked up the Browns defense in fantasy, so if they could do me a solid, I know no one cares. In fact, we're talking quarterbacks right now. Jacoby Brissett, he recognizes that they've got to get better in the red zone, but how?
Score touchdowns.
I think that's the. Got it.
When we went back and looked and just our attention to detail and focus in the red zone, that was very uncharacteristic of us. So just honing back in and focusing on our details of our each play and we'll get the results we want.
I mean, why didn't I think of that? Losing to the Atlanta Falcons 23-20 in week number 4, the Browns were 1-for-3 in the red zone, so not taking advantage of the opportunities when they had them. I wanted to say duh when he said you score touchdowns.
Score touchdowns.
I wanted to yell out duh. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Miami does not have Tua Tagovailoa this weekend. Instead, it's Teddy Bridgewater. But he's been in a starting role before, not uncomfortable in that role, even though they don't love that Tua is going through the concussion protocols. But, yeah, he's a veteran, and he signed up for this.
Just, you know, having been through this before, as far as coming in or, you know, entering a game late or all type of scenarios I've been through in my career. And it's like experience is life's best philosopher. So I've had some experience, and I'm just looking forward to this opportunity that the guys, this team, we get moving forward this weekend.
And so it's the Cleveland Browns who are hosting the Chargers as I'm sorry, I already moved on. That was Jacoby. I was still stuck on that. How do you get better in the red zone? Teddy Bridgewater taking over for the Dolphins on the road at the Jets. The
score
Jets.
Touchdowns.
Yes, exactly. That's all you got to do. It's so simple. Why can't the Broncos or Colts do it? The Jets this time are coming off of a win against the Steelers on the road. And Zach Wilson's already told us he has the best hands on the team. He's trying to hit on Tom Brady's wife on Twitter. The man's a total disaster, but he's got a lot of confidence.
You could feel it even in the Browns game. I didn't even play in. You know, you could feel it when we got that kick. You know, it was like, all right, we're scoring. Like, there was no doubt in our mind right there that we were going down and playing. So, you know, it's cool when you have that feeling.
I mean, at some point, a defensive player is going to want to knock him down a peg. But for now, you know, he's Mr. Golden Boy, living it up. Welcome back to the NFL, Zach Wilson. Bailey Zappi is
I'm going to kill him.
Watch out. You and your mouth. In fact, if the Jets played the Bucs this season, could you imagine the Bucs defense taking aim at Zach Wilson for the tweet about Giselle? Could you imagine? I'd like to sign up for that in the play. Well, it would have to be the Super Bowl. That would be terrible. It's not happening. Anyway, back to our QB news. So Bailey Zappi, first rookie this season to throw a touchdown pass because he got thrust into action when Brian Hoyer had a concussion last week in Green Bay. Well, Hoyer is now on IR, which means if Mac Jones can't go, and it's probable that Mac Jones can't go, Zappi has to now take on that starter role. So how do you get ready?
The same way I have the past 4 weeks. Just taking it day by day, continuing to get better every day.
All right,
kind of the mindset of 1% better every day, kind of taking it that way and just going to practice every day with the mindset of taking every rep like a game rep and just getting better every day.
Okay. I mean, he's been with Belichick for, 5 months? It already sounds just like him. He and Mac Jones. You could literally change the voice and it would be the exact same words for he and Mac Jones. Goodness. At least.
What do I look like?
Wait, do you really want me to answer that question?
I appreciate the question. I really do.
No, you're such a liar. Hey, did you know that the Detroit Lions lead the NFL in points and points allowed? That's never happened before. Through a month of the season, they have the most points as an offense, but they also have given up the most points as a defense. So Dan Campbell wants you to know this is not Jared Goff's fault.
Goff is playing at a very high level. You know, he's certainly given us a chance to win these games, you know, and he's so I can't say enough good things about him. You know, the fact that he's built a camaraderie with these receivers, he trusts them. They're all on the same page. That goes a long way.
So Detroit is on the road at New England. We'll see if Bailey Zappi can take advantage of that porous Detroit Lions defense. So, of course, the Patriots want to be able to establish the run. Trevor Lawrence has got Doug Peterson now calling the shots, and you can tell that not only has he learned a lot from first year to second year, but he's a lot more comfortable. And even coming off of a loss like the Eagles, in which, what, he had 5 turnovers last week? I think Trevor Lawrence had 5 turnovers. Still believes that he's making progress.
I know I've made a lot of steps in the right direction, and I know I've improved a lot. So continuing to build off that, don't let one game affect my confidence. You know, I'm still the same player that went into Philly on Sunday and then still the same player here on Wednesday getting ready for the Texans. So not letting that affect me at all. Obviously, I know I have to play better. You know, that's everybody knows that your quarterback's got to play well to win in this league, and especially going down the road, you know, hopefully getting to the playoffs, all those things, got to play well. So, I mean, we all understand it, but just for me, I really – if I can just stay consistent, keep making progress, and keep taking those steps, I really believe in myself and this team.
Jacksonville is at the top of the AFC South. Just say it a few more times. It's a fun early season surprise taking on the Texans, that one taking place in Florida. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are also home again in Tampa against the Falcons, so there's a division matchup. And what did I just say about Tom Brady's defense having his back if they ever take on the New York Jets? Well, Brady recognizes and will admit that this season is challenging because, what did he tell us? I'm 45. I got a lot of bleep going on.
I think, you know, football always has its challenges in different ways for everybody at different times. So
you know, it's work and everyone has different challenges. You deal with it the best way you can.
Does anybody feel bad for him yet? Chris Lopresti.
45 years old, man. There's a lot of going on.
Is there any part of you that feels a little bit bad for the fact that he's having a lot of life crap that's happening right now?
No, because I have no idea what was said or done behind closed doors between him and Giselle. He wants to continue to play. You got to deal with everything that comes with it. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. I agree.
And I'm not a Brady hater. I love that he's still playing. He's the GOAT. He's great.
But I
don't know enough behind closed doors to really sympathize for him just yet.
But you don't think he's a sympathetic figure at this point? Like, people are feeling sorry for him?
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I'm not feeling it.
All right. Clearly,
he'll be okay.
Clearly, Zach Wilson's not feeling bad about it. Like, just moving in, sliding into the DMs. Do you think he tried to send Giselle a DM?
No, I sure hope not. He's got more important things to worry about right now.
Someone needs to knock that kid down a peg.
You suck.
All right, wait, really quickly, we're going to get a couple more here because the Buccaneers, as we say, take on the Atlanta Falcons, also in the NFC. Kirk Cousins. Hey, you know what? His blindside protector, his left tackle, Christian Darrisaw, needs to get a little more credit out there.
I call him the crime dog because they put up a stat in the stadium last year that, you know, I was thinking when you put up a stat about a player, you say, like, you know, first round pick, did this in college or done this in his pro career. But it just said when he was 10 years old, he played first base for his little league baseball team. And I was like, that's the best stat we can get on Christian Darrisaw. At 10 years old, he played first base. So I've actually asked if they could just leave that up every year for warmups. If he goes to Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl, just focus on the fact that at 10 years old, he played first base for his little league baseball team.
I love that from Kirk Cousins. Right now, Vikings and Packers are tied atop the NFC North at 3-1. Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way, in case you hadn't heard, is now the starter for the San Francisco 49ers. Man, they couldn't have played that better. Even though Kyle Shanahan tried so hard to quit Jimmy G, he just couldn't. Did he actually meet with other teams this offseason, though?
It was more my agents would talk to them, and then my agents would talk to me, kind of be the middleman. But yeah, there was discussions with, you know, multiple teams, but glad the way things worked out.
I bet. But was Carolina one of those teams?
Yeah, I think we were advancing with a couple different teams. Nothing, I mean, obviously came to fruition, but yeah, that was they were top of the list, I would say, one of the top couple. But yeah, like I said, I'm glad the way things worked out, and I'm here, so I'm focused on this stuff now.
I could imagine. Every team in the NFC West is 2-2. The Panthers are 1-3, and they're god-awful. Like, you thought the Broncos and Colts were bad offense? Oi.
Don't really care.
You're such a liar. Really can't hold a candle to the Panthers right now, which are pretty much last. Panthers and Bears about last in every offensive category that you could possibly be. So, yeah, I would say that Jimmy Garoppolo finally had something break his way. Oh, my gosh. Well, that's our QB news looking at week 5. What's the game of the week? You can take our poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. So patient. But I just got to say, Chris is in here laughing, too, so he's having fun.
Oh, I love the cuts throughout the week and the funny off-the-wall stuff. Now, do we think Kirk Cousins with the crime dog there actually knows who Fred McGriff is?
I hope Kirk does. I'm going to bet Christian does not, though.
No,
it's a totally different generation. if Cody Bellinger didn't know who Seinfeld was, then I'm going to... I know. It's just...
That's
don't you feel old?
No, I don't. That's inexcusable.
That's true.
There are a lot of things that make me feel old. That doesn't. I'm sorry. I don't care. You got to know who Seinfeld
Cody
is.
You're oblivious.
Yeah.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket Podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
O2 on the way. Chopper out to Dansby. Dansby throws to first base. Is this happening? It is! The Atlanta Braves are world champions! The Atlanta Braves have won the 2021 World Series in 6 games over the Houston Astros.
I'm an Atlanta lifer. I live and die the city of Atlanta.
And there's no place that deserves it more than the city of Atlanta. I mean, being raised there, growing up there, having roots there, family. I mean, I got my family here. My best friends are here. Love my life. Mallory is here.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dansby was delirious after the Atlanta Braves finally won the World Series for the first time since the mid-90s. Of course, he had nothing to do with that. Pretty amazing to hear the end of that on Braves radio, and just the ending of what was a really long drought, a lot of frustration for Atlanta sports fans, and the way they won it. Phenomenal, right? But now it's time to start a new postseason. October is here, baby, and it's all happening with this brand new wild card weekend. Of course, the Braves are not playing because they won the NL East. So Braves and Dodgers will sit this weekend out, as will the Yankees and the Astros, who quietly amassed a record of 106 wins. And so they were just a few off the pace set by the Dodgers. It's going to be an amazing weekend. I don't have any idea how we're going to pack it all in between wild card weekend, the four games, the four series that start literally in hours, and then college football, conference matchups, Red River rivalry this weekend. I know they're not ranked, but OU Texas is something special at the state fair. And then the NFL on Sunday with a quadruple header. Stop it. All right, so we've got two polls up because we can't possibly accommodate everything. After Hours game of the week from the NFL. And then the wild card series that's got you most fired up. So both those polls originating from our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. I retweeted A-Law Radio. Lots of new peeps finding us, so we're glad to connect with you. We've got our Facebook page named after the show. Our YouTube channel's got some new vids. Well, I shouldn't lie. It's got a new vid up. Soon to be vids, as in plural. We're working on it. It's just a lot to juggle in October, so check out our social media. Podcasts go up every weekday morning, moments after the show is done. So the games begin, as I say, in mere hours. And the first thing we get is the Rays at the Guardians. And we already heard from Terry Francona. He's nervous as heck. He's scared to death. The man's totally anxious. But it does help that he's got Shane Bieber on the mound at home in the opener.
It's a good team. Plays in a tough division. Excited for the matchup. I know they throw the ball extremely well, so I expect some tight ball games. And just my expectation out of myself, and I think the rest of the starters, is to just stay competitive throughout the game for as long as possible to be able to hand it off to our bullpen.
So Shane Bieber against Shane McClanahan, who starts for the Rays. That's going to be a pretty sweet matchup. But I love this because you're getting, if these teams had the chance to line up their pitching, and most of them did, if you're getting the best of the best, it's going to be these first couple of days, just dynamic pitching matchups that you can't miss. Second game is the Phillies back in the postseason for the first time in a decade at the St. Louis Cardinals. And so the Cardinals have storylines everywhere, right? The fact that this is the last run with Adam Wainwright, Yadier Molina, Albert Pujols, that is their battle cry. I mean, you ask anybody on the Cardinals roster in the clubhouse, like Tommy Edmund, he'll tell you that's why we're doing it.
Yeah, I got to step back sometimes and just get that perspective. I mean, it's incredible. And for Yadi and Ueno, I've gotten to play with them for the first 4 years of my career. And I remember watching those guys win that 2006 and 2011 World Series. So now to get to be on their team is crazy. And going back to Albert, I got to be on base in L.A. for that for home run 699 and 700.
Wow.
I was kind of cheering, and at one point I realized, like, wait, I got to run too. But that was a crazy special experience.
Edmund on MLB Network. Yeah, you got to run too. You can't just watch. You can't just gawk. That's the second game coming up in St. Louis at Busch Stadium. Then we've got the Mariners back in the postseason for the first time in 21 years. Scott Service guaranteed it. So now that it's here, let's go.
Really excited to be here. Our group is fired up. Long travel night last night getting in here, but you'd never know it today. Energy's high, and it should be. This is something we've waited for a long time and worked very hard towards, and we're excited. Our fan base is excited and ready to get after tomorrow.
I should have mentioned the matchup for Phillies, Cardinals, Zach Wheeler, Jose Quintana. For Seattle and Toronto, Luis Castillo, Alec Manoah, who's made popular by being mic'd up in the All-Star game. Oh, yeah, there we go. I can't wait to see him pitch in what will be a jammed and loud Rogers Center. And then the nightcap is the Padres at the Mets. So the Mets won 101 games, and Buck Showalter knows the moment won't be too big for them. He's got Max Scherzer on the mound, who, of course, is not only individually decorated, but is also a World Series winner.
Everything's online. Win or go home. You know, that's the attitude you have to have. You have to win. I mean, you get in the postseason, every day feels like a must-win day, you know, must-win game. Whether it's an elimination game or not, you always show up to a park like, we got to win today.
Yu Darvish versus Mad Max. Crazy, too, that Buck Showalter's keeping his card so close to the vest, right? No, don't get cute. If you win game one, you throw Jacob deGrom in game number two. At least that's what I would do. Why save him for a game three if you don't need to? Hey, Bob Melvin, veteran of the postseason, veteran who's been around a long time. What changes when you get to the playoffs?
The postseason you're built for, in this case, two out of three. So, you know, moves probably come a little bit quicker. You're probably not as patient at points in time during the game. And, you know, you rely on your entire roster like you do during the course of the season. But there's certain guys that are probably a little bit more important.
It changes, right? Because everything slows down. The tension is ratcheted up. There's a sense of urgency, obviously, but every decision could be your last. So don't be looking for the games during the postseason to be sped up the way the regular season was. They actually trimmed 6 minutes off the average game time in the regular season. But it had to do with partly the fact that there were fewer extra inning games. And when they were in extra innings, of course, they got that runner on second base. So they're adding the pitch clock next year. We could see a massive drop, but that does not apply to the playoffs, where sometimes the games get bogged down in pitching changes and cost you 4 hours. But I kind of think it's worth the investment. So let's go. Literally 6 hours and 10 minutes from the start of the wild card weekend. So take our poll. Which series are you most fired up about on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page? And of course, we've got our week 5 game of the week. Okay, here's the thing. When I come back on Sunday night, you better be buckled up because it's everything all the time. Enjoy sports, but also enjoy your time away this weekend. It's After Hours CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.